former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe hanging out with Mike Pritchard, filling in for Michael Lombardi. Pritch, of course, played many, many years in the NFL, won a national championship for the Colorado Buffs back in the day, and we love having you here on a Friday as you're filling in for Lombardi, who's on tour in Louisville, I believe it is. But we still got a lot of fun left to go in the final 60 minutes of this show. Von Dalzell, betting analyst over at NBC Sports Edge, will join us in the next segment. But joining us right now to kick off hour number two, it's our buddy, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point, Vinny Maiulo. Vinny, we hope all is well. We got a lot going on now. This is a fun time to be in the sports betting space here with the Final Four, opening day. We got the NBA and NHL playoffs on the horizon. The NFL draft is coming up later on next month. Vinny, let's start, though, with the college hoops. And we were kind of joking about it during the break there, but let's bring it on the air. Conference USA, how about them? Won in the NIT last night. Obviously, we had North Texas beating UAB. Yep. Charlotte won the CBI. And FAU sitting there with two wins away from cutting down the nets in the Final Four.
So, you know, we talk about the power five conferences, right, in football, certainly. In basketball, it's actually I've always considered power six, because in basketball you've got to include the Big East. But now it's probably the power seven, right? I mean, we have to have Conference USA in the conversation, when you think about it. But, credit to the conference. You know, I know the word parity gets used a lot, guys, but the reality is that this has been building for a while. When you look at this Final Four, people say that, you know, it's really out of sorts. Well, listen, it wasn't. You know, just last year we had two blue bloods in the championship game in Kansas and North Carolina. This is good for the sport, I think. I mean, it's certainly good for our business. When you think about, you know, there's maybe one Cinderella a year. Who's going to be this year's Cinderella? You know, we get asked quite often. But, you know, you have multiple Cinderellas this year. Although, you know what? If you ask these teams, they're no Cinderellas. They're no secret. They're solid programs that played very well. You look at a team like Connecticut, had a terrific year, again, out of the Big East. Miami's not been a secret for a while. Larrañaga has been a terrific coach. Took George Mason to the Final Four before he was at Miami. San Diego State's been building this program for a number of years. And then you look at Florida Atlantic. And these are teams, too, particularly when you look at a San Diego State, guys, with seniors. There's a lot of senior leadership on these schools. These are not one-and-done programs. There's something to be said about, and I think this is something that we're going to see as we move forward. I'm not saying Blue Bloods are not going to be involved in the Final Four by any means, but again, there's a lot more balance, and that balance bodes well for business, particularly when you look at some future prices, right? If you look at the beginning of the season, where Miami was, say, 200-1 on the future book, nobody really thought about them in the ACC. But again, you look at some of the futures going into the tournament. Connecticut at 20-1, San Diego State 60-1, Miami at 40-1, and then Florida Atlantic 100-1. So that bodes well for us on our side of the counter, and certainly something that we're going to be very mindful of, guys. And again, it's not just the transfer portal. You can say contributes to that as well. But listen, it's the world within which we live, and certainly bettors, especially professional bettors, are paying a close attention to it, and we've got to do the same.
Yeah, absolutely, Vinny. I mean, I was one who jumped on UConn pre-tournament, if you will, March 4th. I got them at 15-1 on the future to win it all. So I'm happy about that situation. But no, I like what you said there, because FAU and Miami kind of similar in terms of where they are in the region of the country, and certainly just miles, separated by miles. And then SCSU has been building this program, like you mentioned. They have continuity from Fisher to Dutcher. And you think about, okay, the COVID year, how good they were that year, right? Mm-hmm. And so at the betting window, I'm curious, bettors, they're not looking at these two teams as Cinderella kind of situations. These teams have respect. I mean, are you seeing that at the window, obviously?
Yeah, no question about it, guys. And when you look at – and I know we were talking those first 4 days, right, there was a lot of support you know, for the traditional teams and the Blue Bloods. But I have to tell you, over the years, there's been much more support for the non, you know, Blue Bloods or the high profile schools because people realize that they are good teams. And when you think about it, I guess the best way I could illustrate it is this. When you look at, and again, I'll go back to the first 4 days of the tournament, the first 2 days, especially the first round games. When they're, you know, when you've got a one against a 16 seed, you know, it wasn't so long ago, you know, 20, 25 years ago, those numbers, those spreads were 25 or more points. I can remember when, you know, Kansas and North Carolina and Duke were 35-point favorites in the first round. You don't see that anymore, guys. I mean, I think the biggest favorite we had in the first round was, you know, was certainly less than 25 points, a little over 20 points. So you look at that and you say, listen, you've got to be respectful of the teams, but you've got to be respectful, too, of the knowledge and the time that folks are putting in handicapping these programs, handicapping the games, and we've had to pay very close attention to it. So, again, you know, there's always been a lot made about the 5-12 matchups. Well, those are basically pick'em games. I mean, let's face it. And so the 12's moving on. There are no surprises. So we shouldn't be shocked by this. Although, listen, let's face it. I mean, if anybody's got their bracket still with these four teams in the Final Four, I tip my cap to them and come and see Chris Andrews, our director here at South Point, Jimmy Vaccaro, myself. We'll be you could definitely hold an audition. We'll get your opinion on a regular basis.
Yeah, he might find a job out of that one. But we're speaking with Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point. Well, Vinny, let's just get to the games in themselves in general, because tip off tomorrow afternoon, 3:09 down in Houston, the first game of the Final Four, FAU and San Diego State. Aztecs 2.5-point favorites. The total is sitting at 131.5 here. How are bettors, I should say, looking to kind of attack this game?
Yeah, here at South Point, and let's remember, guys, too, we're holding our tradition here with 105. If you're betting the side on these games, it's 105 juice. Mm. So for both semifinals tomorrow, 105 on the point spreads. This game opened with San Diego State as a 2-point favorite. They initially laid the two at South Point. They laid 2.5. Yesterday, we were on air, it was 3. Back to 2.5 now. So it looks like we found that, you know, they got kind of that balance there. We're always looking for that threshold, that buyback. So far it looks like taking the 3 and laying the 2.5. Total, you mentioned, not moving a whole lot of movement there within a point or a half point. 131.5 opened at 132. But there was movement for the money line from minus 125 up to minus 150 on San Diego State. As far as the second game, guys, holding steady, Connecticut, 5.5-point favorites. That was the opener, 149 for that total. That was the opener as well. A little move, you know, to Connecticut on the money line, a 10-cent move up to 240. So pretty balanced action there. I think a lot will depend on how folks do in that first game tomorrow as to how they approach the second game. Of course, tying them in together with parlays and things like that. But right now the action's been good. And again, guys, turning the semifinals into bigger events too, with various proposition bets, and of course the most popular proposition that we know of and we see, which is a lot of fun for us to watch as well. The first to 15, my gosh, the folks love it, and it especially that. Those first 4 days, that was something to see, and we got beat up pretty good on it, but it was worth it because everybody enjoyed themselves, and then they had that much more money to bet on the second half. So it's all good. It's just creating more action creates action, and certainly that prop and all the other props contribute to that.
Vinny, we love the calendar this time of year. I mean, obviously we had opening day, and curious about opening day over there at the South Point. You know, no day baseball today, right? But I would think bettors feel like they have an edge over the books right now in terms of how they did their study and their work throughout spring training, entering the beginning of the season. How did it go over there at the South Point?
No, great action. I honestly have to tell you, Pritch, I'm a little disappointed. I mean, I'm a big baseball fan. I grew up. It was my favorite sport growing up. I loved yesterday. You know, Chris Andrews and I were chatting quite a bit about it yesterday, the fact that everybody played, right? You had 15 mm-hmm. games yesterday, and they were spread out beautifully. And you mentioned no-day baseball today. I mean, we've got the Mets are at Miami today at 3:40 Pacific. But, we love it when games are spread out, especially during the course of the day. And when we get post NBA and NHL playoffs, that baseball, you know, has to carry us for a couple of months leading up to football. So today, only five games, but it was a great response yesterday. We had a terrific crowd here early. And credit bettors, for not only studying, but to adjusting to times and the schedule and things like that. They responded very well. Good handle yesterday. Of course, will it be a run? Will it be scoring in the first inning? You've got first five inning props, team totals as well. Chris added those this year on a daily basis, so you can bet either team over and under for how many runs they're going to score in a particular game. So again, making the betting menu bigger. With more choices, folks have responded to it. But let's get some more day baseball as we get further along.
Yeah, it also helps us be distracted when we're doing our work as well. So we love the day baseball. Give us something to watch while the sun is up. He is Hall of Fame odds maker Vinny Maiulo. Check him out over at the South Point. Once again, -105 lines, both sides on the final four games. Right. That's a hell of a deal. Vinny, we appreciate the time. Hope all is well, man.
Good to be with you guys. Everybody enjoy the weekend.
Awesome stuff from Vinny, as always. -105. It makes a big deal. People might think, oh, what's the difference between -110, -105? It does make a big deal over the long haul. So take advantage of it while you can. Von Dalzell of NBC Sports Edge joins us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. He is Mike Pritchard. I'm Femi Abebefe. Hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino. We just had Hall of Fame oddsmaker Vinny Maiulo on in the last segment. Vinny, always knowledgeable. We always love having him here on the Lombardi Line. And to continue the discussion about the Final Four and the college hoops as we start to wind down on the month of March and the madness as a whole, we bring in our buddy Von Dalzell, sports betting analyst over at NBC Sports Edge. Von, hope all is well. We appreciate the time this morning. Before we get into the game, because I know you have a play in the matinee in the Final Four, FAU and San Diego State, I want to ask you about the one that's going to be in primetime, UConn and Miami, the Huskies 5.5-point favorites. The total is at 149. Do you have a lean or any opinion on the nightcap game tomorrow night in Houston?
Yeah, I'm going to Boston for the weekend, actually, because I live in Connecticut and can't bet on or against the Huskies, so I'm going to have to go make that happen. but I'm going to take Miami. I'm going to take the plus money here, sprinkle the money line, definitely take the 5.5, to be honest with you. UConn has ruled everybody. It's no surprise, 22 points per game. They looked amazing. They're everybody's pick, but this tournament has not gone as we thought it has, and Miami's a team that – They were so close to the Final Four last year. They were up at halftime on Kansas before they lost by 26. They brought so many people back, got some transfers. They're well-coached, and they look great. So I think Miami's live as a dog to win this one.
You know, Vaughn, let's turn to that other game, though, where you do have a play, SDSU. Obviously, FAU. I mean, a hint of Cinderella in these, but we're just talking to Vinny Maiulo from South Point, and the record of FAU and how they played doesn't present to me that they're a Cinderella. SDSU has been building this program too. What did you distinguish from this matchup to where you have a play in this game?
Yeah, I mean, college basketball is weird now. I mean, with the COVID year impact and eligibility, and now we have an older teams like San Diego State that has seven seniors and two juniors in their rotation, a team that lost two straight first rounds in the NCAA tournament. finally made their run. I mean, you can consider them a type of Cinderella team because no one saw them going this far. But Florida Atlantic, too, in the same right. I mean, when Vlad Goldin, their center, plays as well as he did in the previous two games, that's the difference for FAU. But the three-point percentage is going to be the talk of this game. This game is in Houston, NRG Stadium, the Texans Arena, which means, you know, bigger sidelines, the courts lifted a little bit, bigger arena, more fans. So it's going to be a little off-putting at first. So I like the first half under 61. We obviously know San Diego State plays at extremely slow pace. They're 345th in tempo. FAU's 280th. So both these teams like that. But San Diego State's three-point defense is crazy. 15 of 86 is 17%, and FAU shooting 31%. So I think that'll be a story of this game. So I like the first half under. And I'll probably go back on the Aztecs live because I think one favorite has to win. I'm going to put my money on San Diego State.
Yeah, no, I like that first half underplay, especially with the adjustment being made. I know they'll have their shoot around today, but still, like, once you get to the actual game flow of it and you have that cavernous arena with the sight lines all jacked up, I like that play. We're speaking with Von Dalzell, NBC Sports Edge sports betting analyst over there. Well, Von, let's go from the college ranks to the professional ranks. The Oklahoma City are in an interesting spot because it sounds like tonight Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will not play. They're only a game up on Dallas for that final spot in the play-in tournament, and they are taking on the Indiana Pacers in Indianapolis later on this evening. Thunder, four-point favorites, totals at 240. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, so if we would have got on this a little bit earlier, the line is steadily moving. I'm seeing now some 160s and 170s are going to be starting to pop up because SGA is questionable, upgraded to questionable after being out this morning. But that just happened a couple minutes ago, and that actually speaks to these reports. As much as we want them to believe they're going to be true, we really don't know until closer to game time because he was ruled out all morning up until a couple minutes ago. But Oklahoma City, like you said, they're up on Dallas right now. They have Indiana, Phoenix, Golden State, Utah, and Memphis. This is a must-win game. If the Thunder want to give their fans a little something-something here and make the play-in tournament, which I think they can, they have to win this game. No Haliburton, no Miles Turner, no Chris Duarte for the Pacers. I mean, they packed it in, and that was pretty evident in the last game against the Bucks, letting up 149 points. So every metrics, every stat points to the Thunder in this game. I played them at minus 130. Like I said, if you need a little money line juice reducer, you can roll my Chicago Bulls tonight to beat the Hornets. But I do think the Thunder went outright today too.
What, Von? What the hell's going on with this NBA stuff? Like you talked about, I think SGA was ruled out yesterday, and then this morning he's ruled out. Now he's upgraded to questionable. As an NBA bettor, because I love the NBA, I don't bet it day to day because of shenanigans like this. But how maddening has this become, where somebody can be ruled out 24 hours ago, and then all of a sudden, actually, they're questionable? What are we doing?
I mean, it was to the point earlier in the season where, you know, I was about 14 units in the span of 2 weeks. I was down to about 2 units because of injuries, guys sitting out 10 minutes before tip, or guys deciding now they're playing and the line goes complete opposite direction. So you know, sometimes it's good to take a break from the NBA, which I did for about a month and a half. But it's much better, I think, when you have a guy rolled in like SGA and you get the line that goes in your favor. But if you're a Pacers backer, it definitely hurts. But I'll be honest, it doesn't matter if your player's in or not. The team could still lose outright. That happens more often than not. So I'm just going to cross my fingers because, as a reminder, these are the Thunder and the Pacers we're talking about.
Yeah, you two are better than me because I've been out on the NBA for a minute because I want to see the playoffs now, right? And because I think the NBA certainly will shift. Let's get to Major League Baseball, though. And you're all over the map today with players. I love it. Opening day, Major League Baseball yesterday. Chicago-Houston, you have a play in this game. What'd you see?
Yeah, yesterday was a great day and opening day, I think, for baseball. The pitching clock, I think, helped a lot. More stolen bases. And this game was one of the best games on the slate yesterday, too, with the Astros and the White Sox. Dylan Cease looked tremendous, but that's Dylan Cease for you. And, you know, I want to talk about him and Lance Lynn because there's a difference here. Cease throws a fastball around 40% of the time. Lance Lynn throws about 60% of the time. A lot easier to hit the fastball. I don't have to be a pro to tell you that. But Lance Lynn's also struggled in Houston in his career. Lost 6 straight dating back to 2013, but 5 straight since 2019, owning an 8.8 ERA in that stretch. So he doesn't have very fond memories here, but Houston loves him, averaging about 6 runs per game. And this is a good bounce back spot for them too, because Houston did hang those banners up yesterday and then lose at the end of the game, which, you know, really stings. So I did play the Astros on the money line, and I did also sprinkle Lance Lynn over 4.5 hits allowed, because all 9 trips to Houston in his career, 5 or more hits allowed. So I like that number too as a little sprinkle on the side.
I think the Astros might have been distracted by Megan Thee Stallion throwing out the first pitch.
Hey,
man. Yeah, like, let's not
go
there.
You got quiet. You got quiet on that.
He said, I'm not going to incriminate myself.
He's still quiet.
Plead the fifth. I don't blame you, Vaughn. I shouldn't be saying anything either. Do you have any long-term futures or awards bets in Major League Baseball this year? How are you kind of looking to bet the futures portfolio here with the season kicked off and underway?
Yeah, there's a couple ones we talked about today on Bet the Edge podcast, but I definitely like Juan Soto, or you can go Ronald Acuna Jr. in that market for NL MVP. I think these two guys are on two of the most explosive offenses in all of baseball. Acuna's going to steal more bases now. We saw the bases are, you know, they're a little larger, so I think his odds are definitely worth sprinkling at, you know, anywhere from 10 to 1 or better. And then you got in another market, I think Spencer Strider, his teammate, is also a good bet for a Cy Young market. He's not going to be talked about nearly as much, but he was outstanding last year with over 200 strikeouts and about 130 total innings. And he had about 1.3 strikeouts per inning when he was at home, too. So those two guys, in my opinion, are very interesting. I like the Braves a lot, apparently, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
So just watching them, I was very impressed yesterday with how their offense is just so explosive. Even at the 8 or 9 spots, they had guys getting hits, bringing in runs. So the Braves are, you know, one of my favorite teams overall to be backing this year. And I think the Padres will be too, but that'll be later down the road when they get Tatis back.
You know, Vaughn, I go with the portfolio when it comes to betting Major League Baseball. Any teams you're looking at, we got about 40 seconds here, that perhaps could surprise. I mean, the Chicago White Sox were, you know, they didn't surprise last year. They're certainly going to be rebound this year. Any teams catching your radar that way?
Forget about the White Sox. Who cares about them? The Orioles.
Okay.
I think the Orioles are a team that can make the playoffs. And you know what? I'd call me crazy, but they might be able to even win the AL East too. Ooh. If the Yankees don't have a hot start or fall apart. Red Sox are not what they used to be. Obviously, the Rays are a great regular season team too. But the Orioles are getting a lot of young pieces. Adley Rutschman is a sleeper for maybe a little MVP pick or something too, because he's going to hit tons of bombs like he did yesterday. But that was my best bet yesterday. And they're a team that thrived at the end of last year. And I think they're building confidence game by game. Mm. So, Orioles.
Okay. He is Vaughn Dalzell, sports betting analyst over at NBC Sports Edge. And when it comes to Megan Thee Stallion, he pleads the fifth. Vaughn, we appreciate the time, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend.
Good stuff there from Vaughn Dalzell there. That loves the Braves.
I know.
Acuna MVP, Strider Cy Young. We'll see if the Braves can get back into that winner circle after they won the World Series a couple years ago. All right, we'll talk some better or worse NFL QBs with their new situations next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with 24/7 streaming daily best bet emails, including advice, data, and strategy for only $19. Our experts are also getting ready for golf's first major of the year at Augusta. It's next week, folks. This year's upcoming Masters Betting Guide will break down every golfer in the field, plus futures bets and matchups. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard. We're hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. We had Vaughn Dalzell, sports betting analyst over at NBC Sports Edge, in the last segment. Vaughn, very sharp with it. He likes San Diego State first half under tomorrow. And then also, he's going with Miami with the points and also a little sprinkle on the money line. So yeah. It could be an ugly first game and maybe an exciting second one. At least that's what we're hoping for.
I mean, considering the future tickets I have, I mean, I'm intrigued about Miami right at this point. I mean, and the points. SDSU, I love his play first half under 61, too. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I think that was my favorite of the ones he gave out.
Yeah, because I went to a few Final Fours. The one I went to that stands out in a stadium was the Superdome. Mm-hmm. Down there in New Orleans. And that was a Chris Webber scenario. So, and we were in a suite. Mm. And we were so far away from the court.
Could you even see the court?
Yeah, well, you can see the court, but you had to watch it on TV because you're in a suite. But it's like what everybody talks about. you know, the sight lines and everything, the raised floor, and just you're in a stadium, that could throw a shooter off, I would imagine, right? And mm-hmm. so, it was spectacular to view. Obviously, we know what happened in that Final Four. But, yeah, it's just different. It's a different dynamic in a stadium that way.
Yeah. I mean, like, basketball games, let's be frank, they're not meant to be played in football stadiums. Right. But we got to get people into the building. Yeah. So the NCAA is going to keep doing this 75,000-plus tomorrow mm-hmm. for the Final Four. So you can see why they'd take that over just a 20,000-seat arena. But let's get to our game here. And this is a game called Better or Worse. See the play on words we did there? Better or worse with NFL quarterbacks. Now, the whole offseason has been consumed by two quarterbacks, mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson. They're not going to be featured in this segment, and I'm thankful because we've talked a lot about those guys. Rodgers, we believe, will be making the change to the New York Jets after being traded at some point this offseason. Right. Lamar Jackson up in flux, but I think the general consensus that he's probably not going to play for the Ravens in 2023. But let's get to the other quarterbacks who changed teams this offseason, starting with Derek Carr. Mm. The longtime Raiders quarterback was out here in Las Vegas throwing the ball over at Allegiant Stadium. Now he's going to the New Orleans Saints down in the Bayou where they once had the Final Four. Do you think Derek Carr will be better or worse with the Saints this year than he was with the Raiders last year?
Oh, man, this one, I don't... The thing about Derek Carr going in year 10 is he's not going to change. You know, he's a panicky quarterback. He underwhelms. And now he's going to a new team that he's got to get familiar with. And so is it going to be better or worse? I mean, I want to lean towards worse because it's going to be new. You know, I don't – the expectations are going to say, hey, we got a better quarterback. The situation's better. We have a playoff caliber defense, and now we just need consistency. But his consistency, Derek Carr's is underwhelming though, mm-hmm. right? And so, I mean, this is a tough call for me because he's a 24 touchdown passing quarterback, 24 touchdowns, and then right around 11 to anywhere to 14 to 15 interceptions. That's Derek Carr, and that's. It doesn't matter which team he's going to be on, especially going in year 10. I don't see him like changing mm-hmm. from the quarterback he's always been.
I would lean toward better mm-hmm. just because the situation should be better. I think he'll have a better offensive line in New Orleans okay. than he had with the Raiders last year. There's a run game to lean on as well. And also the receivers. I mean, he had the best receiver, in my opinion, in football last year right. with Devontae Adams.
But the leading rusher, too, and Josh Jacobs.
He did have Josh Jacobs, the leading rusher. But I think that there's more depth at wide okay. receiver. Because Olave, heading uh-huh. into year two, Chris Olave was a yep. rookie last year. He was outstanding. If he can stay healthy, he should be really good. Michael Thomas is making a return. Now, he's the big if he can stay healthy. I mean, they could have something there with him.
If I knew how he is still on a roster... I think I would still be playing right now. How the hell is he still on a roster right now?
Seriously. Can't guard Mike.
I know. He is. He's crazy. But
can't play Mike.
He can't. But Olave, you're right. But, yeah, we got to figure out how Michael Thomas is still on the roster.
Man, he's doing something. He's swindling somebody because we haven't seen him play a full season since 2019.
Exactly.
2020 is when he started having the ankle yep. issues, and he's been pretty much out ever since then.
Right.
Played a couple games here and there. But I do think that Carr could lean on that defense. As long as he just protects the football, I know he gets skittish in the pocket.
Yeah.
But if he can protect the football, that division, I think, is really, really weak. It doesn't appear that any of those teams are going to make a big splash at quarterback. The Falcons should go for Lamar Jackson. Doesn't sound like they want to do that. Carolina will upgrade with whether it's Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, but those guys are rookies. Mm-hmm. We still don't know what we'll get from them. The Saints are the favorite in this division and should be. So I think that's why Carr will play better this year than he played last year. Let's get to the new Raider quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo right. was in San Francisco last year. He got hurt. Now he comes over to Las Vegas, reuniting with his former offensive coordinator in New England, one Josh McDaniels. Will Jimmy G be better or worse this year?
Well, here's where it gets tricky again, because he has not played in this Josh McDaniels offense since 2016. Mm-hmm. And he's been in Kyle Shanahan's offense, but he's a highly efficient passer. Doesn't make a ton of mistakes. The wild card, too, is he going to stay healthy? So how is it better? Or will it be worse, right? I mean, what happened? Jimmy G's get hurt.
Yep.
It's obviously a worse situation because at least the Raiders did have D. Carr for the majority of the year until they benched him. It's not if Jimmy G gets hurt, it's when. right? And that, to me, from a betting standpoint, just makes this one a worse situation, I think. And the win totals, too. I mean, look at the win totals for the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders think that they upgrade it because of familiarity with Jimmy G and his offense, but I don't know if that's the case yet.
I'm in agreement with you. I would go worse as well. And Jimmy G, the one thing that he has is that he galvanizes the locker room.
Yeah.
Guys seem to gravitate around him. I know Michael Lombardi's talked about that, how Jimmy just has that kind of personality where guys want to play for him. But the injuries, it's hard to ignore. Last year, he had the broken foot issue. He's had shoulder issues. He's had knee problems, the thumb, the hand. Like, there's just so much with Jimmy G from a durability standpoint that you can't really buy to where I think this is going to be worse. I'd be surprised if he plays all 17 games, to be frank. Baker Mayfield last year played for the Carolina Panthers and the Los Angeles Rams. Now is in Tampa with the Bucs. Will Baker, former number one overall pick, will he be better or worse in his new situation?
I got all leans to the worst right now.
No, Prince said these guys are all bums.
I mean, Baker, what, 6 years in the league? Going on 6 years, this is his fourth team. And he was the number one overall pick. How many teams do you have to be on or land on, and all of a sudden it's going to get better or better, right?
That's and a fair so, question.
Yeah, I think you expect the same. I mean, he was flash in the pan, and everybody made a big deal because he didn't know the playbook, and the Rams did what they did. I think it was against the Raiders, right?
That Thursday night game.
Yeah, but I mean, Baker is a talent. He really is. Full disclosure, we have the same agent. But Baker has not galvanized the locker room. He has not kept the locker room together. He has not shown that leadership quality. And that's why he's on his fourth team in six seasons in the National Football League.
Yeah, no, I think it's worse. The Bucs, they made some re-signings to where they want to keep some of those veteran guys. They don't want to do a full rebuild, but I think they're at the point where you just got to kind of tear the Band-Aid off, just tear the thing down. Rebuild it. You went all in during the Brady years, and kudos, you won a Super Bowl. But it's they're kind of in flux, in my opinion, and I don't think it's going to end well for them in 2023. The last quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, started the majority of the games for the Cleveland Browns last year, now has signed with the Washington Commanders, and will likely be in a quarterback competition with second-year quarterback Sam Howell. Will Brissett be better or worse in 2023?
See, I'm biased now because I love the offensive coordinator over there in
it's
Washington.
Your boy.
Yeah.
EB.
So, yeah. And I know how Eric Bieniemy coaches, too. So, I think it could be a better. And here's why. I think Jacoby had a chance, you know, maybe some other places he could have went or whatever. But you had a chance to be a starter if you're going to compete against Sam Howell and with his experience. He's going to love this offense, too. So this could be a better situation, a better situation, I think. And I'm biased. I'll freely admit that. If he accepts the coaching that he's going to get from Eric, I think this could be a better situation for Brissett and even Sam Howell, to be honest with you.
And that's why I'm going to go worse.
Okay.
I think that Sam Howell's going to win this job.
Okay.
I think Howell's going to win this job. And I'm very intrigued by Sam Howell. He could be the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
He could be the worst quarterback in the league. But intrigue for me always comes from the unknown, and we don't know, which is why I'm keeping a close eye on the training camp reports, the OTA stuff, because of Howell. If I start hearing whispers that Howell's lighting it up or Howell's getting a full grasp of this Bieniemy offense, Commanders could be live to be a dark horse playoff team, maybe even win the division.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah.
Crazier things have happened in the NFL. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Playing a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points to MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe hanging out with Mike Pritchard here on a Friday morning in Las Vegas. Downtown is where we reside at the Circa Resort and Casino. Thank you to our guests, by the way, here on the show. We had three of them, all of them fantastic. Josh Applebaum, VSiN betting analyst, host of the Market Insights podcast and the Morning Bets podcast. Make sure you check out Josh's work. Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point, chatting with us a little bit of Final Four, what's going on behind the window at the South Point at VSiN Command South. Vinny always does a great job. And then Von Dalzell, sports betting analyst at NBC Sports Edge, as Von gave us some plays in not only college basketball, but Major League Baseball and the NBA. So thank you to all three of our guests here this evening, or not evening, this morning and afternoon, I should say. And also, our guest, speaking of Von, he gave us a pro tip as one of his plays, because he likes the San Diego State FAU first half under, and I think that's something that we could take away from the Final Four. And consider this for your pro tip: first half unders, because they're going to be playing in a football stadium and no longer a basketball arena, there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period. The football stadium has different sight lines than the typical basketball arena. Might have some poor shooting, at least in these two games, early on as players start to adjust. So I think that's a great pro tip for all of our bettors out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, the tightness, too. This is for a national championship. I mean, it's a Final Four. The arena, like you mentioned, the atmosphere, the environment, all that. I mean, the tightness, we've seen that already be revealed in this tournament, how teams can go tight or get tight, even in a game.
Yeah,
Texas. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, that feeds into the pro tip right here. And then the sight lines that everybody talks about, too. I mean, if you have been fortunate enough to get to a Final Four, and I saw a Final Four in McNichols Arena, well, UNLV won it, a basketball, you know, court, if you will, where the Nuggets played. And it's so different from going from that to an NFL stadium and a Superdome, like I saw a couple years after that. So, yeah, I mean, I think pay attention to that. And like you mentioned, with Vaughn and his play, I love that under situation with SDSU and FAU.
And also, it's not even just the sidelines. The court is elevated as well. So it's almost, in a weird sense, it's like you're almost like playing basketball, but you're floating in the arena, you know, because like you get the hoop and it's like there's nothing behind it because it's like a cavernous whole setup there. And then you're elevated. The bench is a little bit lower. Yeah. So it feels like you're kind of like on this stage, which could add to the nerves of being a big game.
Well, depending on the setup too in a stadium, like going back to the Superdome, you know, I'm familiar with those locker rooms, right? Because I played football there. And you're seeing Michigan come from the locker room, and they had a mile to run just to get to the court. It's like they're running from way over there to
out
get
of
to
breath.
The court. Yeah. So, again, it depends on the setup. But, yeah, I think that whole build up and the tightness, too, of these student-athletes, you got to keep that in mind.
Make sure you check out all of our pro tips over at VSiN.com/tips. We do one for each show, and it has a lot of great analysis and great reminders in there to help you be a better bettor. Well, let's talk some Final Four here. Pritchard, we got 6 minutes left here in the segment. The odds to win the national title, no surprise, UConn is the favorite team, -125 over at our show sponsor, BetMGM. San Diego State, 4-1, Miami, +475. FAU +625. Is there anything that you would do in the national title futures market, or would you go down to maybe the exactas and get a little crazy with it, or maybe even most outstanding player?
Well, I already have in pocket UConn 15-1 from March 4th.
There you go.
And then,
it's good work.
Yeah, after the first weekend, I jumped on SDSU 30-1. So I'm positioned okay if I can get those two teams to win, right?
Monday night, we'll be chilling.
Oh, man, with some popcorn, maybe a party. Yeah. I don't know what to do here because I'm intrigued by a Miami. You know, it's +475. I mean, you might be right with exactas in that market, maybe going there, but in pocket already. So I was going to ask you, what would you do here? Because Miami is a live dog, I think. And I can get the points. I'm looking to in-game it maybe, depending on the situation. Certainly FAU, SDSU, I'm looking in game at 100%.
Miami has been frisky all throughout this tournament, and I will admit I was low on Miami heading into the tournament. I didn't think they got enough stops to go ahead and win four games to get to a Final Four or six games to win a national title. So I'm coming from that vantage point to where I see why you'd want to take the points with Miami in this game, but I find it hard to believe that UConn's going to lose.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a close game, all bets are off because I like Jim Larrañaga as a better coach than Dan Hurley. Hurley has the better team, but I think Larrañaga is the better coach and he's the more experienced coach. But UConn looks so overwhelming. Their size, their length, their physicality. And, I mean, to Hurley's credit, and I got owe him an apology, he's put some really good sets together. Like, they look like a well-coached team that's a well-oiled machine. So I'm coming from the vantage point that I've already inserted UConn into Monday night.
Okay.
I think they get to the national title. Now, the unfortunate part of that is that there's no real juicy exactas with UConn involved.
Right,
because, unless it's UConn to lose, but for UConn to win, because I think UConn will ultimately cut down the nets Monday night in Houston. I would probably play UConn over FAU plus 275 because I think FAU is the live frisky dog that's going to be barking loud Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, it's intriguing, too, to get FAU plus 625 to win it all. And I mean, look, KenPom and all the metrics, I mean, suggest that FAU could perhaps be the best team, right?
Yeah.
From a metric standpoint. But, yeah, it's tough to take that bet now with holding what I have in pocket. Looking at some of the exactas, though, plus 275, like you mentioned, UConn over FAU. I mean, if FAU is going to get to the finals on Monday, I mean, plus, I guess it's just money line or not. You know, money line or just stay away from a bet, knowing what I already have in pocket.
And FAU will be a dog against either UConn or Miami.
Right.
And the exacta is telling us that right now here, because Miami to beat FAU is 10-1, FAU to beat Miami is 11-1. Now, it's not going to be a big point spread, but we can gather from the exacta.
Yeah.
I think it's probably maybe Miami 2 or something like that, 1.5, 2.
Yeah.
Because Miami will be upgraded in their ratings if they beat UConn, who right now is the number one team in KenPom. So they're the number one rated team by the advanced metrics in all of college basketball.
Yeah.
They should get a lot of credit for winning that game if they do win that game tomorrow night. So I think they'd be favored, but I don't think they would be favored by a lot.
Right, right. And the thing about it, too, is the nature of this tournament. It's like, is now the time to start thinking long shots or not, right? I mean, Jonell Davis, I mean, for instance, 14-1, most outstanding player for FAU. I mean, if FAU gets to the finals and perhaps win it, right, 14-1, I mean, do you look at the fact that this tournament has been wide open, that there is an opportunity to jump on some long shots here?
And I think the most outstanding player, that is the one market where random winners are more often than people think. I mean, I know last year we had Ochai Agbaji, which that was a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
Like I thought David McCormick should have won most outstanding player. I didn't even have a bet on David McCormick. I bet on Jalen Wilson, who could have won if he made a single layup in the damn Final Four. We see you, Jalen Wilson, All-American this year, but you won the title last year, but you disappointed me. But typically, it's not necessarily going to the best player on the best team.
Right.
I mean, I brought this up to Elliot, our producer, before the show. I was like, remember that Villanova team, I believe it was 2018, that won the title over Michigan. Jalen Brunson was their best player the whole year. I believe Jalen Brunson was like a national player of the year kind of guy. Dante DiVincenzo won most outstanding player. Because in a two-game sample size, random outcomes can happen. This is not most outstanding player of the entire tournament. It ends up being most outstanding player of the Final Four. And if you only have two games to work with, a guy can get hot. Luke Hancock, famously, for Louisville, when they won it. Russ Smith was their best player. Peyton Siva was his backcourt mate. And Luke Hancock was just draining threes in the Final Four.
Right.
He wins most outstanding player. So it's not necessarily Sonogo or Hawkins if you like UConn, or it's not Miller or Wong if you like Miami, or Trammell if you like San Diego State. You can go a little further down the board, I think, in this market.
Okay. Well, okay, in that market in particular, I love what you just said right there. You know, taking a shot or looking at some of those longer shots and the most outstanding player odds. I mean, as far as the teams, I mean, FAU to win it, plus 625. I'm going to hold steady with what I have in pocket and perhaps look to end game.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. I'm sure you can typically get a better number end game with this stuff.
Yeah.
But I like where you're sitting with UConn. They're the odds-on favorite right now. I think they're going to cut down the nets, but it's been a crazy tournament, so maybe crazy things will happen as well in the Final Four. That does it for us on this Friday. For Mike Pritchard, I'm Femi Abebefe. For our producer, Elliot Bowman, and the entire crew behind the glass, we wish you all the best of luck. VSiN Best Bets is coming up next here on the Sports Betting Network.